You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
In the beginning, there was darkness. Then, out of the void, came fire, smoke, Rodo. Fantasy excellence begins here.
This is your time.
The Rodo Experts in the Morning starts now.
Hour number two, on your way.
Rodo Experts in the Morning, Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Alongside the Fantasy Executive, Corey Parson, the King, Scott Angle, and Wall Street Matt Modica, I am Greg Sussman. Happy to have you here. On a Monday, sticking with us as we start off your week correctly, as it needs to be, with the Roto Experts in the Morning. Anything you missed, check it out on demand through iTunes, Google Play Store, wherever you download your podcast. You can certainly listen to us anytime you miss. Also, make sure you check out the Roto Experts exclusive Edge package available right now. You Sussmania, when you check out, you get 20% off. Well worth it. RotoExperts.com/big deal. Use Sussmania.
Yeah, and when you go to Roto Experts this morning, you can check out Jake Seeley's full fantasy spin on the Jay Cutler signing and how it affects every major facet there in Miami.
We'll get back into Jay Cutler here in a little bit, but I did want to move on to this. The Flex League draft, which we have.
That belt's heavy.
We have it. It really is. This heavy. I don't know. I'm looking at a camera.
I don't think we're on TV.
looking at a heavy championship belt that's currently on my shoulder, but it's not mine. Yep. It's Fantasy Executive. It's a very nice leather. You can smell the leather on it. And Corey, you're the defending Flex League champion.
Yeah, I won the inaugural auction last year.
Thanks to a rule change in the middle of the season that became that.
That was crazy.
That was wild.
How that happened, you know what I mean? So there you go right there. But listen, it was meant to be. It was meant for the Fantasy Executive. Well, it's kind of my thing, winning championships anyway.
Who did you beat?
In the final?
Yeah.
The all-in kid, Jake Seeley. I think Matt Modica knew that already. You
know, I had, was making sure there.
I had a feeling he did. So you were in the inaugural Flex auction last year. Mm-hmm. You won the ship. And now you are not. Is there no auction anymore?
Nah, the time constraints, whatever the case may be, with, you know, as far as getting the spot, because auction could take a little bit longer on. So time constraints for that led us to not have an auction this year. But I got two auctions coming up at the end of the month, so I still get some auction action out there. But, yeah, we went out there this weekend in Washington, D.C., picked up the belt, put the team together, tried to defend the championship right there.
This is probably a pain in the ass to bring back.
Like, yeah, no, it is. No.
The belt's heavy. Wear it around your waist.
Well, that's kind of corny, though. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm the champ, but I'm not, like, the champ.
You're the champ.
I don't want somebody to try to fight me.
In this league, both you and Eric Young are defending champions. Eric Young won the draft last year, the Snakes draft. You won the auction. So both of you guys took your pictures with these championship belts. And both participated in the draft. Before we get into anything of the draft, give us a rundown of the room. Give us how you were feeling, where you were sitting. Give us kind of the breakdown of the draft room.
No, you came in there, obviously, in the performance studio down there in D.C. at the radio station. So, you know, we sat around the table. No really specific order we sat in. And, you know, you had the guy over there running the board. You know, the mood was set, whatever. The tone was pretty good. You know, you got 11, 12 experts in there. Obviously, Chris Meany didn't make it down. He was up in Canada. We had big game Joe Dolan, who was one of the hosts of the broadcast. And then, you know, Rathburn and, you know, EY and some other, you know, cool cats from around the industry. My man Jim McCormick from ESPN, Steve Gardner, a very good buddy of ours, who was in the hotel last Sunday. Who was here, upstairs, you know what I'm saying?
Really?
Yeah, he was upstairs last Sunday. Uh-huh. He said he came
shocking
down.
He said he had to appear on Frenzy.
He said he came down and he said he came down, but nobody was in the studio. So yeah, you know, Steve Gallo also does some work for USA Today out there in the draft. So we had a good time. It was a good group. And I tell you what, it was. You know, normally I get in the draft and I kind of handle it the way I wanted to. Hey, listen, people are ready to play. It was a very good competitive draft, so I didn't dominate it like I normally wanted to, but I'm pretty comfortable with the way the team came out.
Yeah, we're going to really get into your team here in a little bit. We're going to get all these teams. This hour is really dedicated to Flex League draft. Yeah, Matt.
I'm just happy that EY got Tavon Austin.
I was just happy. Did you did you try to mess EY up as you claimed you would last week?
Nah, I wasn't fooling with you. EY was sitting right next to me, so I was like,
you're on your best behavior.
Let me chill.
We got the New York Flexes this weekend, Super Flex and Half Point PPR.
But we'll get into that next week, because today, right now, when we come back, when the Flex League Draft, featuring one of the defending champions, Corey Parsons. He's next to us. He'll break down his team. We'll get into the draft next on the Road Experts in the Morning.
In 2016, Scott Engel predicted an impressive second season from Melvin Gordon. Jake Seeley recommended Jordan Howard. Bobby McMahon forecasted a Jay Ajayi breakthrough. George Kurtz saw a big year coming from Matt Ryan. And Joe Galina picked Rishard Matthews as one of his top sleepers. These predictions turned fantasy owners into champions, and the same crew returns this year with more savvy calls in the exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package at rotoexperts.com. Don't miss the calls that create winners. Register now and enter free radio at checkout for a special discount.
Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Download the app 24/7. Free fantasy sports analysis. CP Flex League Draft. Did you choose your spot in this?
That's bad business right there. That's bad form.
Yes.
We didn't get to choose our spot. I walked in the room. They told me you got the fifth pick. So I was like, I bet. I went in from five this year. So when I see that I had the fifth pick, my initial thought, listen, let me tell you something. I'm going to be straight up honest with the audience in this one right here when it comes to these expert league drafts and stuff like that. When I found out I had this is ridiculous. When I found out I had the fifth pick, my initial thought process was, okay, bet. Do something that's going to shock the draft right off the rip. You feel what I'm saying?
Why?
Huh?
Why?
Because, you see, it's two ways you play these expert league drafts. People only remember the person who wins the draft and the person who wins the league. So I wanted to make a move that everybody would like, oh, wow, he did something crazy right there off the top of the draft. You feel what I'm saying?
The kind of throw style?
Something like that. Something that would be the talk. So my thought process when I saw that I had five was, okay, bet, I know exactly what I'm going to do. I'm going to take AJ Green fifth overall. Bam, just like that. It didn't happen that way. Scott always says it. You know what I'm saying? You cannot predict the draft. It is so true. You cannot predict what happens in the draft. So, that was my thought process, was to go in there, shake the room up, take A.J. Green nice and early, and explain why I got this love for A.J. Green. But the way it fell, A.J. Green, I didn't have to make that move because I couldn't pass on Zeke. When Zeke fell to five, I was like, oh, I got to go with this.
So I think it's interesting because we've kind of discussed where Zeke's value is, right? What do you do with Ezekiel Elliott? Is he going to get suspended? Is he not? How do you deal with it? And just a month ago, it was a consensus top three with the three running backs. Now, given the uncertainty surrounding Ezekiel Elliott, we've talked a lot. I know when I came back from my vacation, it was a story every day. What do we do with Zeke? What do we do with Zeke? What do we do with Zeke? Now, he's kind of settled, I think, because if people believe, Scotty, that he's going to be suspended, enough people think it's going to be either one game, two games max, nothing more. I think that's what people believe. No one has any idea, but that's what people believe. So in all honesty, the lowest I've really seen him is where Corey got him, around five. I haven't seen him really drop outside of the top five.
I think I saw one draft where he went at like eight.
Okay.
And I can't remember exactly which one that was. I think it was high stakes or something like that.
Okay.
But to me, with Zeke, it's like, I'll take him as early as number three.
Okay.
Because it, to me, like, it's like Matt said, it's like, violent sport. Anybody can get injured at any time. Some guys are more injury prone than others, but I feel like, if Zeke went down for 2 weeks in midseason, I wouldn't know about it. If, I already know what he's going to miss, and I still want him for, say, 11, 12 games of Zeke more than say, a full 13 fantasy-wise regular season of a lot of other running backs. So I'm still going to take him as early as number three. And Jerry Jones said a few days ago he doesn't expect him to be suspended at all.
Yeah, I don't see it being more than a game or two.
Right.
Even if they said three games, they'll appeal it, he'll get two or something like that. I don't have a problem with taking Beckham or Julio Jones in front of him. Because what if it is more than that? But otherwise, if you want to take Zeke at four still, I'm fine with that too. It's just whatever your comfort zone is. I was just surprised that he went fifth in an industry draft because I know how much running backs are beloved. It's like, so any my top six picks, it should be Beckham, Jones, Elliott, and the big three. So those six guys should be there. I know some people like to put McCoy up there now, but I would hold off on that.
I agree. So Corey goes and gets his man Zeke at 5. Before we get to Corey's next pick, I want to finish the first round out here. Julio Jones goes 6. Pretty understandable. That was Jakey's pick. Mike Evans goes 7 again. Pretty understandable. And then look at Sean McCoy 8. No issue here. Everything's very standard for what we are seeing at this late juncture of fantasy draft season. Melvin Gordon 9, no real problem. AJ Green 10, Devontae Freeman 11, Jordy Nelson 12. Guys, that's a pretty standard first round.
That's how the first round of a fantasy draft looks in 2017.
It really does. Maybe
a certain
just a
little
the
bit
end.
Of a different order, maybe.
Right,
a little
preference.
Maybe you won't see Odell at 4 necessarily. Maybe you won't see Jordy at 12.
Right.
You know, he slips to the second round. But pretty much the same guy, just like in maybe a little bit of different order here and there.
What I tell you, the two players who are going to move into and is going to be, as you're going to see popping up in that top five as we go through the month of August, are going to be A.J. Green and LeSean McCoy.
How come?
Because the hype on LeSean McCoy is getting real. All the work that he's going to get out there in Buffalo as far as catching the football, you still know, listen, the yards per carry are going to come down from last year, but it's not going to be significant. So people are going to start to push Shady into that middle because that's where they're devoid of those running backs when you got those big wide receivers there. And A.J. Green is a player that the industry is going to get high on once you see him out there healthy and working around. When A.J. Green plays 16 games, mm-hmm. he's going to finish as a top three wide receiver.
I would have taken him at 7.
If
I was on the board. But the one player that stood out to me was right outside the first round. I'm not trying to jump here. But the J.A. Jai selection.
That was number 13 overall.
With the first pick of the second round.
Okay.
Just for the fact, from what I'm seeing in the high stakes, his ADP since this Tannehill injury, which I don't think Tannehill was ever that good anyway. I think Matt Moore might have even been better, but he's gone to number 20. So big game Joe Dolan still believes, you know, he ain't moving him. So I just, that one to me kind of stood out.
I want to talk more about kind of these ADP droppers in a little bit, but I think Jay Ajayi at 13 for the standard, I don't mean standard leagues, but like general league players, Jay Ajayi is still, and I know this table feels a little bit differently, but Jay Ajayi is still in that RB1 mix, that back end RB1 mix, right, for the standard mm-hmm. player, for the standard average player is really what I was looking for.
Yeah.
The average player, Jay Ajayi is still in that late RB1 mix with Devontae Freeman, with Melvin Gordon, with LeSean McCoy, with DeMarco Murray, who was a little late in this draft. He's still there. I know, Corey, you feel differently. Scotty, I know you feel differently when it comes to Jay Ajayi.
I still feel like he's an RB1, but he's like a tier behind like the Freemans and the Murrays for me. Kind of right there and like maybe just like a two running back tier with Jordan Howard. Like, you know, you have your big three. It doesn't change for me. Then I got like McCoy, Freeman, Gordon, Murray. You know, I might like Murray more than I do like Gordon necessarily. And then for me, it drops off a little bit to Ajayi and Howard because, like Corey says, and I agree with them, I think they have more bust potential than some of the other RB1s. But then from there, I think you're starting to slip into – to me, like I've always said, I think there's only 9 true RB1s in this year's fantasy football drafts.
And real quick, what Corey said about making like that splash pick, remember how – List took Jay Ajayi 9th in the mm-hmm. FSTA. Thursday night when I did the Beat Chris List League,
yeah,
he had the 11th pick. So he didn't take Ajayi with either pick.
Yeah. This is what you try to win a draft. You can win a draft.
You can win a draft.
You can win a draft by being the talk of it.
Although Jake's version of winning a draft is a little different.
That little thing at the end when they showed the breakdown, they was talking about that. When we went out for a little bit and they was talking about that, and I was like, please.
All right, so continuing on the second round. Continuing on in the second round.
How heavy that joint is, Scott?
I really like...
That was the belt. That wasn't, you know...
I really like...
I got a lot of those.
Can you bring some in?
What? I thought about it.
Should do it.
Yeah.
Shut him up.
I thought about it.
I want you to shut him up.
We'll put him on the wall.
Shut him up. Do it.
Nothing's ever going to shut him up.
You bring some candy. Yeah.
But you know what, though? Corey's new to this. He's very excited. I understand.
Yeah, he needs some new material.
So I love, I actually really loved how Meany started his draft with Devontae Freeman and Michael Thomas. I thought it was a really good start mm-hmm. to the draft. So good job by Meany. Rath goes A.J. Green, Jordan Howard, which I think something I might be doing when I get 10th pick a little bit later on in draft season. And then you get the Carl Savchik.
Oh, Meany has a good team.
Yeah, that six-pack to start off I thought was excellent. I even told him on Twitter.
Meany has a really good team. Maybe we'll talk to Chris Meany later.
And I'm not even a big Lynch guy, but Randy Wang.
So I'm not a Lynch guy either, as we've talked about many, many times. But looking at this draft, Lynch was the right pick at that spot. I don't even like Marshawn Lynch. Anyway, with that, we were really jumping ourselves. With DeMarco Murray still on the board, we all agree DeMarco Murray's in that top nine, Scott.
Yep,
he's one of those nine RB1s. Carl Savchik went in a different direction. Corey, you talk about winning a draft, being the talk of the draft, being the guy everyone talks about. Here he was, RB9, with one of those nine guys still there. Carl Savchik left him on the board for Leonard Fournette.
Yeah, and Fournette to me is my number 10. He's that first RB2, you know, to me. And with Murray, you know, still being like, you know, a big crux of that offense and more proven than Fournette and a way better offensive line, not something I could do.
Yeah, well, I think when he went here, I mean, I would have took DeMarco Murray over him. I have Fournette at 10, Murray at 7. He's going on this volume talk we keep hearing, like, and I've been saying, you know, the offense is going to run through him, possibly 300 touches. But look, DeMarco Murray's done it in this offense. He's been a top 7 running back for the last 4 years. I'll take that guy.
One of the best offensive lines in football also. Also, interesting note, Carl Savchik went back-to-back running backs, Melvin Gordon, Leonard Fournette. We'll tell you who his number one wide receiver is when we come back. Oh boy, Carl. Stick around. It's the Roto Experts in the Morning, Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Quarterback to receiver hookups, running back depth analysis, rookie values in dynasty leagues, deep sleepers, training camp battles. These are just a few of the in-depth features you will find inside the 2017 RotoExperts.com Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package. And it's power-packed with so much more, including fully sortable player projections and a custom cheat sheet generator. Plus, you get a full year of in-season coverage as a bonus. Get the Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package now at RotoExperts.com. Enter free radio at checkout for your special discount.
What is this? I like this. I do like this. This is absolutely something.
Scott got right into it. I gotta give him props on that.
Hey.
This is like, what did you type in, Don Burns, to get this?
I typed Sussman.
I was just thinking the same
tropical
thing.
Again.
What did you type in?
I typed in tropical, and it's a bright rays of sunshine. It's called.
Hey man, this is you're right. This is very me, Corey. I'm glad we all
like
each
it too.
Music now.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. Okay, well, again, so as we said, our boy Carl Savchik, Melvin Gordon, Leonard Fournette start. Do you have any issue with that, Corey Parson?
I wouldn't have started that way, but everybody, I mean, I got Melvin Gordon as my fourth running back. You know, he goes off the board as the fifth running back, so I have no problem with that. Coming back with Fournette in the second round, I thought he probably would have, you know, in my opinion, I probably would have went a wide receiver right there. I probably would have took Dez Bryant right there at that point. But then again, Dez Bryant's a Dallas Cowboy, so you never know how somebody might feel about a Cowboy player.
Do you really think somebody in this sort of draft is not going to take a guy because he doesn't like the team? I doubt that.
I don't.
I 110% doubt that.
Well, I said I don't.
I don't see how you can see that. These are like, you know, these are like 12 experts here. You know, the first rule of fantasy football is not to draft with your heart.
Do you know that Carl Savchik's an expert, Scott? Do you know that for a fact?
I just about guarantee if we got Carl Savchik on here.
Do you know for a fact that Carl Savchik is an expert?
Huh? DynastyOneFootball.com.
Do you know for a fact he's an expert?
I will tell you right now that Carl Savchik is not going to be in this league because Jake Sealy handpicks these guys, that if he's not some sort of respectable expert, that he's not going to be in this league. And I can just about guarantee you that he did not pass on Dez Bryant because he's the Cowboy.
Well, nothing else. Carl Savchik's a dynasty expert, and maybe he took Leonard Fournette a little earlier because he's used to drafting.
That I can see, but, you know,
that makes
a
sense,
Cowboy,
Greg.
That don't make no
sense. As far as the start goes, I would have took Murray in that spot. I'd have took a, if I would have went running back, I would have went with another. If I would have went with a running back, it would have been Murray, but more than likely, I would have took a wide receiver right there. Not a terrible start.
Continue on. Steve Gardner takes T.Y. Hilton. Corey, I know you're excited about that.
Yeah, I was hoping he would. Get him in the third, but.
Eric Young drafts DeMarco Murray. That's the right pick for his team. Evans and Murray, fantastic
start.
For the BFF. EY. Joe Mixon. Jake makes his statement as promised, as guaranteed in the second round.
Yeah, the Joe Mixon pick goes off in round two. I think he could have possibly been there in the third round for Jake, but yeah. I know what Jake is trying to do with this. He's trying to say that this is a guy that he's really high on, that he's really in on, and that he thinks that Joe Mixon is worthy of a second round draft pick. I'm sure Jake will break it down nicely on the Fantasy Frenzy and then later on today on Target Fantasy, so I don't have a problem with the pick, and I don't have a problem with Jake going out there and getting this guy at that point.
I'll tell you though, if I was in Jake's spot to start Julio and Dez, I would have been all over that.
Jake wants a bell cow.
Jake wants a bell cow, and obviously he's going to be Joe Mixon. He believes in him. I want to talk about. I'm actually more interested, as I said, to Matt during the break, of Jake's third round pick and his third round decision than I was the second round, because I expect him to take Joe Mixon in the second round. Then I get to you, CP. You get to the second round pick, and it leads to an interesting question, which I always have, and I'm excited to get your opinion on it, which I now know because you made this decision. You started Ezekiel Elliott, and then you took the next wide receiver that you have on the board, which is another Cowboy. Dez Bryant, you start back-to-back Cowboys, Zeke and Dez.
Yeah, you know, as he was sliding down the board, I was like, oh, everybody's going to be to get a big laugh out of this. You know what I'm saying? But I'm looking at it, and I'm like, this is the pick right here. This is the way I have him ranked. I was thinking in this second-round pick, I was like, I bet I'll get Amari Cooper in the second round. I'll get him on that turn, and then maybe I'll come back in the third, and they'll let T.Y. Hilton fall, and then I'll be cooking with gas right there. But as Dez Bryant started dropping down the board, I'm saying to myself, okay, everybody's going to get a kick out of this and laugh, but I'm going to make Dez Bryant the pick. I don't care if I started with Ezekiel Elliott, so I'll start Zeke, I'll start Dez. When this thing is working, the Dallas Cowboy offense is working the way it's supposed to work, the people that are going to score the fantasy points are going to be Ezekiel Elliott and Dez Bryant. That's how it is. When the offense works the best, Greg, if you look, go to 2014. Right? Mm-hmm. If you go to 2014 and you look at Dez Bryant's stats in 2014, you look at DeMarco Murray's stats in 2014, you look at Tony Romo's stats in 2014, that is the way the offense works. And the offense is hitting on all cylinders. It is very efficient. And you might get a little Jason Witten, but other than that, you're going to get a high dosage of Dez Bryant, and you're going to get a high dosage of Ezekiel Elliott. Zeke can score from all over the field. You see what Dez was doing with the combination he had with Dak Prescott going down the stretch last year. I am not worried about the situation. So Scott will say, well, what about the weeks when they score 13 points? Well, Ezekiel Elliott is probably going to get that touchdown. Dez Bryant is probably going to get 5 or 6 catches that week. You feel what I'm saying? What about the week when they drop 30-something points? You know what I mean? So there you go. It's not like it's an offense where a ton of people touch the football. They can score 20 points, and all those fantasy points are going to come within Ezekiel Elliott and Dez Bryant.
Scotty, in general, would you do what Corey did? Not that it was Zeke and Dez. I know it was his favorite team. I know all that jazz. But would you start? Do you have an issue starting with players on the same team back to back with your first two picks?
This was tough for me because I looked at this and I knew the predicament that was there. To me, Dez Bryant's clearly the best player on the board.
I agree.
I mean, I would have taken him as early as like where Jake took him.
One spot earlier.
Yeah, but okay. I might even take him at like a.
You took him over T.Y.
I would take him over T.Y. Hilton too. I probably would have taken him with the first pick of the second round. That's how much I like Dez this year.
Right.
Now, the positives and negatives of what Corey did. Now, I think the Cowboys are going to be involved in a lot of shootouts this year. I don't like their defense, so that's a positive for them.
Yep.
But there are going to be weeks, and just let me say this, Corey, and let me finish. When they face teams like the Giants, okay, who have a very good defense, I believe, okay, and they get shut down maybe and they score 10, 13 points,
yeah.
That hurts you. Then there's going to be other weeks where Dez has a big game, the passing game has a big game, and maybe the running game doesn't balance it out, or the running game has a big day and Dez doesn't do a lot. To me, that's too risky. I especially don't like having a running back and a wide receiver on the same team because the ultimate outcomes, it's fun to watch because like if the Cowboys score 30 and 40 in a week in a shootout, it's going to happen. You know, every time they score, it's fun for you. But to me, it's too much of a boom or bust overall strategy. But at the same time, to me, Dez is the best player on the board. This guy is finally had a clean offseason where he's not rehabbing from any injuries. And, you know, there's no contract disputes, nothing. His head is clear. His body is fine. And he's the most uncoverable wide receiver in the NFL in the red zone. I think people are really going to remember how great Dez Bryant is when this year is said and done. So I understand why Corey did it. But fundamentally, if I walked away from the table like that, I'd still have a little bit of a nauseous feeling.
Would you have done it?
I think ultimately I probably would have went with another pick.
She's scared money don't make money.
Okay.
Well, I made a lot of money, so I don't know who you're talking to.
Scared money don't make money.
Scott,
it's
I don't really, know it's who you're talking to.
It's really interesting. You said, it's really interesting, though. It's a really interesting conundrum because you had just said, listen, I am so high on Dez. He's the most uncoverable wide receiver in the red zone. He's healthy. I love him. I would take him, if this was me, with the first pick in the second round. Not, that's what you said. I don't like putting your words in your mouth, but that's what you said. And yet, here you are with the eighth pick of the second round. If he's the highest player on the board. You always say, I don't care about position, I don't look at anything else but my draft board. And he is the highest player on your board. And you said, ultimately, you probably would have went in a different direction.
I understand why Corey did it.
It's really interesting,
I respect
though.
It. But ultimately, when it comes down to it, one of my big rules is, especially early in the draft, I can't have two guys from the same team. I just can't.
I would have went. I mean, I have Doug Baldwin 9, Dez 10. So for me,
so for you it's a little different because you would have taken Ballin. For me also, like Scott, Dez is my highest guy on that board. I would have taken. I would have done. Honestly, I think I would have done exactly what Corey
yeah,
did.
If Dez is the highest guy on the board, I would have went there. If,
yeah.
if you're going off your board and like if you think
yeah, I saw that. Yeah.
If you think he's the number of the top pick of that round and you can get him there, I think you have to. And Corey made the good points to why.
Yeah, I mean, who's going to score? It's not like it's going to be the offense runs through three people. You might get a little Jason Witten. You might get a little Cole Beasley. But for the most part, it's run the football with Ezekiel Elliott, throw the football to Dez Bryant.
Would you take, if he's the highest guy on your board, would you take back-to-back players in the same team? I want to know, 844-843-6879, 844-843-6879. Kenny in Philly, would you make this move?
I don't, because Kenny don't play scared. Yeah, he would do it.
Good morning. I decided to hit y'all snooze buttons this morning.
Yeah, I had him a couple of times, Kenny. I'm not a fan.
Kenny, would you have made the move? You already have Zeke. Would you come back and take Dez?
Well, I got to go back to what Corey always preaches about the roster construction. Like you said, it's risky. It's risky, but I probably would have did it if I think that their offense is going to be their high power this year. So I agree with Scott, but I slightly disagree on that point. But early in the draft, you have to be concise, and you got to hit early in the draft in order for the rest of the team to pretty much work.
All right, fair enough. What's your question, sir?
So I finally did the drawing or whatever, and I'm actually in an unusual spot for me. I'm not used to picking here, but I'm picking 12th and I'm picking 12th, so I'm probably got the back-to-back picks or whatever. So I'm tempted. I don't know if people are going to drop or what, but I'm picking 12th, so I'm kind of uneasy about that.
Don't be uneasy. I don't know how the league plays out, but you know what I was telling a homeboy of mine last night? You know what I would like to do at 12? I would like to go running back. If I can start Melvin Gordon and Devontae Freeman, I would start Melvin Gordon and Devontae Freeman. That's the only turn that I would do running back is Melvin Gordon, Devontae Freeman.
I did that in the Roto Experts mark with Freeman and Murray. Don't be concerned. Somebody said it to me last night. I am concerned about being in that last spot. I don't know what's going to happen. You can win from anywhere in the draft. Remember, the best thing about picking last is you're the first guy to get a second player. Okay, bam.
Okay. I would have gone, like, say, Freeman, and if Jordy Nelson or Thomas is there, I'm taking one of those guys.
You know, you would never start running back.
It's going to be game plus.
All right.
Do that. It's pretty much.
I would do it. The first person I saw do it, and was that Roto Experts mock, was Scotty at 12 and 13. I was surprised yet intrigued because the players he got, they're great, obviously. Like I said, if I had to do it, I'd probably start the way Meany did with Freeman and Michael Thomas. That was the way to go. When we come back, let's continue talking flex here on Roto Experts in the Morning. Ezekiel Elliott, Carl Anthony Towns, Corey Seager. Those are the rookies of the year, much like the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
The fastest growing fantasy sports network on radio is completely free, 24/7. Listen to us live at fntsy.com/radio or download the app right now in the Google Play Store or on iTunes. Morning, Fantasy Sports Radio Network, rock and roll with you on a Monday, feeling good, off to a good start this week, and I think Corey was off to the right start as well. We'll put up the poll question, by the way, at FNTSY Radio. We're going to get it up there, so make sure you participate. Poll is, would you take two players on the same team with your first two picks in a draft? Obviously, Corey is yes. Scott said he would be very hard-pressed to do it, even though Dez Bryant was the highest guy on his board. He'd be hard-pressed to do it. Matt would do it if he was the highest guy on the board. We want to know what you would do. FNTSY Radio, make the poll. Get it done. Continuing on here in the flex draft. After Mari Cooper, Jim McCormick, ESPN, who I don't know, to be honest with you.
Oh, Jim McCormick's a cool dude. He's been doing IDP for ESPN for years now.
Okay. Yep.
He's a Philadelphia guy.
Gotcha. All right. So Jimmy McCormick takes Rob Gronkowski, the second pick. I know you're pumped.
Mouse in the house.
You're pumped when he goes off
Mouse
the
Mouse in the house.
So then after that, you get Baldwin, you get Gurley, you get Hawkins, you get my man Lamar Miller for Dan Dobish.
Horrible pick by Dan Dobish with the Lamar Miller pick right there.
It's Dan Dobish.
He could have.
It was a good pick.
I would have went cooked right there. I would have went three strong.
It was a good pick. Highest running back on the board. I love it.
Bad analyst, bad pick.
I want to say something real quick.
It's not nice.
Eli's first three picks, I absolutely love.
We're getting to Eli. Let's not rush it here. Alshon Jeffrey, so your guy, goes early in the third before Demaryius Thomas, who's next to Gattos. And then Corey Hero.
That right there. See,
really set up nicely for you.
Yeah, exactly. That set me up perfectly right there. Because when I'm looking at that, so Gronk, right, that happens in just about every draft. But then, that Alshon Jeffrey and Lamar Miller being drafted mm-hmm. where they shouldn't have been at, that really pushes value down the board right to me. Yep. You know why I got this right here? Because when I'm on draft day, I don't make mistakes. You see, Scott? I don't make mistakes on draft day. So when somebody in the draft room make a mistake, I'm going to jump on their ass. And anytime you get Brandon Cook sitting in the third round and I get him as a wide receiver too, that's why I win the championship.
That's why they call you El Gato. You eat up all the mice. Yeah.
There you go.
Well, the beautiful pick. You learned from me well. Congratulations.
So there you go. Brandon Cooks. Basically, Corey stated he really likes Brandon Cooks on that turn. It's kind of where he wants him. And
Greg, I have to do it all the time. Brandon Cooks should be going in the middle of the second round, mm-hmm. not in the beginning of the third round. If he's sitting there in the third round, I'm always going to do that. I just really can't pass that up.
I'm trying to... I mean, I hear people giving me arguments on why Brandon Cooks, they don't like him this season. It's kind of, you know, look at the offense he was in. Look at the offense he went in. This is not a volume-dependent receiver. He's never had more than 125 targets. And 1,100 yards each season, weeks 1 to 16, the last 2 years, 2015 was the number 12 wide receiver in PPR. Last season was the number 7. I agree with Corey wholeheartedly. I don't understand.
How do you guys?
I just foresee Brandon Cooks having like a monster three touchdown game at some point.
One second. How do you guys respond to the Mike Florio argument? And many people make the argument, but I talk to Florio every day at the BFFs. In regards to Brandon Cooks, the argument is that at the end of the season, Brandon Cooks will finish as a top 12 wide receiver. No question about it. However, it's going to be that week to week where you're just like frustrated, but by the end of the season, all the numbers will be there. How do you respond to that?
I want the guy that at the end of the season is the 7th-ranked wide receiver. Okay. I'm not going to worry
about
it.
You don't care how he gets
there. Would you rather have the 18th wide receiver who, you know, maybe scores his level of points every week,
right,
but never near that? You know, you need to get those points. And I understand some guys are going to have those big weeks and maybe for a week or two are going to disappear. Is that going to stop you from drafting Julio Jones, who has 100 yards, who has averages 100 yards a game? So if he puts up a bad week, you know, what are you going to do? You got to live with that.
Exactly. Yeah, and Julio can give you that same 2 for 29, 2 or 3 times a season.
Exactly. That's just what I was going to say, Corey. It's like, not every receiver blows up every week. You draft Antonio Brown, there's going to be a 3-catch, 27-yard week.
Well, Antonio Brown's a little bit different. He's always going to get to at least 5 catches.
I'm saying, though, there's going to be 1 week where he does live up expectations. 95%, 98% of the receivers. Not everybody's going to blow up every week. You're not looking for week in, week out consistency with a guy like Brandon Cooks, especially as your wide receiver too.
Andrew Corey, guy who he believed was a steal of Brandon Cooks, wide receiver 15 off the board, middle of the third round. Jake did something really interesting, and this is what I wanted to get into. Is it PPR league? Corey,
this is a PPR.
So Jake did a PPR, which is not normal.
Well, Jake threw all the flexes.
Okay. So,
well, maybe not all of them. At least two of them he does.
So Jake took the next running back off the board, running back 14 overall, middle of the third round. He took Christian McCaffrey. And McCaffrey, in this PPR, went over Isaiah Crowell. Now, Corey, you've been pumping this Isaiah Crowell thing for months. Did this surprise you?
I mean, it doesn't surprise me. I know how Jake values McCaffrey. And like I said, you know, he's trying to show his value and how he ranks players and stuff like
back-to-back that. Back-to-back rookie running backs for the kid.
Back-to-back rookie running backs. If he think he can win that way, then, you know, it's the all-in kid. He knows what he's doing. See, I think it's a little bit risky. You got Julio with that bad foot. Then you got two players we never seen. And one of them is in the offense that we really don't know what's going to be. So the way Jake starts out of his first three, I like the talent of all three players. I just don't know if the situations are going to be there, the scheme is going to fit right, and I worry about whatever it is that Julio Jones has going on with his feet. So I'm satisfied with it. I would have took Crowell there. I don't want McCaffrey in the third round because, you know, when Jake made the pick, he said that's 60 receptions. That's a lot.
I'm kind of with Jake, though. I think 50 is a lot. I got to say, his first five picks, the way it worked out perfect. I mean, you got Julio Jones, Manny Sanders, and Golden Tate as your three wides. And Mixon and McCaffrey, I know we haven't
they
seen
got a
play.
Hit, Matt. They got a hit.
I understand.
Two rookies.
But, I mean, look, I like Isaiah Crowell. He's got a hit this year, too. I know you love him.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I could say
so
that
we've
about,
seen Crow before. You feel what I'm saying?
Understood.
We know what the offense is going to be in Cleveland.
I mean, if I was Jake at that third pick, I would have went prior, but that's me. But I don't have a problem with Christian McCaffrey just because I think he is saved by that pass catching ability, and I just don't see how it's not going to be there.
I'm with Corey when it comes to
Jake. Jake is doing what he says not to do. Don't buy the risk. Jake bought the risk.
He's got two rookie running backs.
That's what we're saying. I'm just scared, and I'm with Corey on this when it comes to that Carolina offense. I don't know, man. I just don't want to buy these pieces as early as they're going. Like, I'll take Christian McCaffrey in the fourth round, no problem. I don't want to do it in the third when Isaiah Crowell
still. I mean, he's still got him as a running back too, you know what I'm saying? So I get
that.
It. I don't have a problem with it like that. If Mixon is the one that everybody, I think people think Mixon is going to be a one, then hey, fine, no problem. But you know, McCaffrey's a two still. It works out, but
yeah, I just think those five picks work.
The way the board shook out in the fourth round, it allowed him to get the wide receiver to help piece it together.
Although I probably would have taken three wide receivers on the board before I would have taken McCaffrey, who went in that round. I would have taken Pryor, Watkins, and Adams all over McCaffrey.
There you go, Scott.
Listen to me. I agree with you, Scott.
Watkins, wow, Scott.
I agree with you, Scotty. The next
a team with Julio Jones and Sammy Watkins on it? You would
Scotty,
do that, Scott?
Do it, baby. Dance.
Just throwing it out there, man. It's being high stakes.
Get on my good foot. That is not Scott Engel style right there.
I like it. Terrell Pryor did go next, so you're seeing him really rise up draft boards. Both Scott and Matt have been banging the table for.
So that's EY
starts. EY starts. Mike Evans, DeMarco Murray, Terrell Pryor. A lot to like there.
I love that.
That's a great start.
I don't have a problem with it.
A lot to like there.
I don't have a problem
with it. I know you would have went in a little different direction, Corey, but not.
I wouldn't have took Pryor there. But
Devontae
Adams would have been on my team. Yeah. Pryor as a two right there. I don't have a beef with it.
I would have went Pryor, Watkins. Those would have been my two picks.
The thing about it is, and this is your boy, this is your BFF.
Yes, it is.
When he comes back in the fourth,
we got an issue.
Mouse in the house.
We have an issue. I would have taken either of the players that you or Jake took instead of that player. I'll get them in a second.
I would have took Ty in the fourth.
If I was taking a running back, I would have taken him.
Okay. Anyway, we're jumping ahead. Stevie Gardner takes Isaiah Crowell. Happy for that. And then Carl Safchick. Good old Carl. You started Melvin Gordon, Leonard Fournette. And that was the pick of the talk of the draft. Leonard Fournette a little bit early. Oh. And then your number. You're right, Scotty?
I just looked at his next pick.
I really thought you were like really getting.
I thought you was all right. I was like, do we got to get somebody in here?
Same. So in the third round, Karl Savchik picks his number one wide receiver to be Sammy Watkins. The same Sammy Watkins that got hurt over the weekend at training camp. He came back for the walkthrough. He says he's fine, but he was gimpy and he was limping around. And there he is. Big Sammy Watkins form. Is once again...
Not a foot, but a rolled ankle.
I hope it further makes him slip down.
Not just Matt. Yeah, Matt playing.
It's not his foot. It's his ankle.
He rolled his ankle. No, I feel you. He rolled his ankle. It wasn't his foot. He rolled his ankle. Right. This is a terrible job of roster construction.
I'm not even worried about it's the fourth and fifth.
This is a horrible job.
I talked about two guys. Yeah, two Chiefs. Like, I'd rather go with the two Cowboys if I'm going to do that. Two Chiefs?
That's not a place you go to look for fantasy production.
Karl Savchik started with Sammy Watkins as his wide receiver one, which has question marks. He then, in the fourth round, I'll just spoil it, comes back around and drafts Spencer Ware.
That's what I tweeted. I tweeted that out. I said, well, no, Spencer Ware in the fourth, I just threw up my mouth a little.
And then in the fifth, I actually like Tyreek Hill in the fifth round, to be honest with
you. But as a wide receiver, too, that is poor roster construction. Not only is Tyreek Hill your two, your one is Sammy Watkins. You cannot do that. That makes absolutely no sense. And I like the kid called Savchik. You feel what I'm saying? It's nothing against him.
It's not personal.
It's not personal. He was the mouse in the house.
Yeah, I agree
with Garcon's going to be his wide receiver one.
I could have taken Hill in the fifth round and not had a problem with it, but not with this team. I don't think it was.
His seventh round running back was better than his fourth round running back. He got Blunt way after Ware. I have Blunt ranked higher.
We'll wrap up the third round of the Flex Draft. Continue to get some of these.
I'll say something nice. I do like Pierre Garcon.
And I'll say something nice about Karl Savchik's draft. Sorry, Carl. We'll come back. More Roto Experts in the Morning, more Flex League Draft next here on Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Quarterback to receiver hookups, running back depth analysis, rookie values in dynasty leagues, deep sleepers, training camp battles. These are just a few of the in-depth features you will find inside the 2017 RotoExperts.com Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package. Plus, you get a full year of in-season coverage as a bonus. Get the Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package now at RotoExperts.com. Enter free radio at checkout for your special discount.
Fantasy Sports Radio Network, talking about the Flex League Draft. Really been harping on Karl Savchik here. And Rathburn takes Dalvin Cook, which I think is good value compared to where some of these other guys have gone. Devontae Adams goes all the way at the end of the third. So like I said, I'm loving Meany's draft here. Starting Freeman, Michael Thomas, Devontae Adams.
Meany is eating up.
Eating right
He's
now.
Eating up the value. You feel what I'm saying? He's taking advantage. Meany took advantage of situations.
Pac-Man? Yep.
That was pretty good.
That was a good Pac-Man,
that was a really good Pac-Man.
Meany's eating up the value that the mouse has left on the board. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So he takes advantage of that. See, I don't know. The all-in kid should have took Devontae Adams there. That's his guy. He should have took Devontae Adams right there. Because I feel pretty good that he would have been able to get McCaffrey in the fourth. But
I don't know if he would have came around with the running backs that like went off the boards. I'm not sure.
I think he could have. So
I think, you know, like if Savchik's taken Ware before he gets to that point, I think he would have been off the board, which is my opinion.
Okay.
So you had Devontae Adams go there. You then wrap up the round. Travis Kelce, Keenan Allen here for Joe Dolan, fantasy guru.
Interesting start for Dolan with Jordy and Keenan as his wide receivers. Jay Ajayi.
I did that last year. It didn't work.
Jay Ajayi is his one. And then Kelce is his tight end. And I'm like, okay, I can see it a little bit. But I'm like, I wouldn't have went that way. But Joe Dolan's one of the dudes that know what he's doing.
Starting running backs for Joe Dolan are Jay Ajayi and Frank Gore.
Not my favorite running back core.
No.
But Travis Kelce makes a hell of a difference.
Pro-size.
There you go. That's a good one right there too, Scott.
I don't know. I don't know about Joe Dolan's team. Marshawn Lynch, I thought, and I don't like Marshawn Lynch. I've said that many, many times. But I think
this is excellent.
Roster construction. Me, did a really nice job.
He does a good job with this. So his running backs are Devonta Freeman and Marshawn Lynch. I love that right there. The wide receivers are Michael Thomas and Devonta Adams so far. He is cooking with gas right now.
Wide receiver three becomes Julian Edelman a little bit later. I think great for roster
construction.
Excellent
right there. That is perfect right there.
RB3 later becomes Bilal Powell. Love that too.
Like nice
that
depth too. If something happened with Lynch, boom, you got Powell right there ready to go.
I don't know. Tight end, waited a while. Took Jack Doyle, quarterback Dak Prescott. He loaded up a running backs and wide receivers. So, you know what? I got to give it.
Solid job.
He has Edelman as wide receiver three.
Yeah, as we mentioned that. So, like it's a nice job there by Chris.
There's a lot of catches on this team. He should be able to get some touchdowns out his running backs. I like what Meany did. I can see me and Meany playing in the championship.
Was there talk about Meany's draft afterwards?
What about Jake?
Corey?
Huh?
Was there talk about Meany's draft afterwards?
No, not right afterwards. We were just like drinking beer and eating chicken wings.
So you and Meany, what about Jake?
Jake could be like the third place.
Was Jake partaking in any of those wing eating or beer drinking?
Nah, Jake, he was eating wings, you know. He had his soft drinks.
Yes, of course. I had some wings I was craving wings over the weekend.
And I had a burger. It was magnificent. You know what I'm saying? I knocked down a couple of brewskis. You know what I'm saying?
I went to a bar kind of around here for some wings and beer. Yeah. Oh, God. It was like really.
Heaven.
It was. That's what I felt on Friday night. I just had wings and beer, and I felt so good.
Just one more thing to wrap the night off, and we're good to go, baby.
I had Thai chili wings with some potato pancakes on the side.
How about that?
Yeah. Some latkes, huh?
Yeah, it was good.
Ate some latkes over the weekend. Look at this guy. Spencer Ware went in that fourth round. I said Martavis Bryant, which I find interesting.
Yeah, I think Raph pulled Bryant up the board a little bit too high, especially given the situation. You all right, Matt? Oh, you standing up? I thought something happened. Especially the situation going on that he hasn't been on the practice field yet, even though we're getting reports that he should be able to start practicing this week.
But if you want Martavis Bryant, he might not get him if we waited.
That's true too. But listen, the dude
Golden Tate was still on the board.
There you go right there, Scott. Yeah. Tate was still on the board. But I tell you what.
So is your boy Crowder.
I think they're going to test him again, Martavis Bryant. That's scary.
I think so too. We're going to come back. We'll get some of the headlines, of course, from over the weekend. We'll go live on television, and we'll talk more about the Flex League Draft. So Roto Experts in the Morning, Fantasy Sports Radio Network.